Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with Brian T. Hill, MD, PhD, an assistant professor of hematology and oncology at the Cleveland Clinic, to discuss the FDA approval of selinexor in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. On June 22, 2020, the FDA approved selinexor for the treatment of adult patients with relapsed refractory DLBCL not otherwise specified who have received at least two prior therapies. The approval is based on results from the Phase 2b SADAL trial, in which selinexor led to an objective response rate of 29%, including a 13% complete response rate. Deep and durable responses were also reported, irrespective of DLBCL subtype. Among the 59 patients with germinal center B-cell histology, the ORR was 33.9%, and in the 63 patients with the non-GCB subtype, the ORR was 20.6%. Across the overall population, the median overall survival was 9 months. The median OS had not yet been reached among responders. Notably, selinexor is an oral agent that can be more easily administered compared with intravenous therapy or CAR T-cell therapy, which can be cumbersome to patients, said Hill. The approval of selinexor is a welcome addition and one that will benefit patients who have exhausted all other options. In our exclusive interview, Hill provided additional perspective on the FDA approval of selinexor in DLBCL. What does the approval of selinexor bring to patients with relapsed refractory large B-cell lymphoma who are ineligible for transplant and CAR T? How do you really see it impacting the paradigm?
The approval of selinexor for patients with diffuse large B-cell lymphoma gives another treatment option for patients who have exhausted other treatments. So this is an oral agent, which differentiates it from IV therapies, and also is less cumbersome than CAR T-cell therapy, for instance, which requires hospitalization and so forth. So these patients often run out of options, and this is a welcome addition.
And do you anticipate that the drug will be used in all patients with diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, regardless of subtype?
So regarding subtype, on the registration trial called the SADAL trial, which led to FDA approval of selinexor, there were equal responses in both germinal center and non-germinal center, with a numerical trend towards actually more responses in the GC or germinal center subtype. So it's not anticipated that there will be one subgroup that does not respond as well with this agent.
So before we get into the bulk of the results of that trial, could you provide some background on the agent itself and what we know about it from our experience in myeloma?
Right. So selinexor has been FDA approved for myeloma. It's an oral agent which acts by inhibiting nuclear export factors, which leads to the altered accumulation of transcription factors and other mediators within the nucleus and leads to cell death. So this agent is active in multiple myeloma and is now been shown to be active in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma.
So you mentioned the SADAL trial earlier. Could you elaborate on the data and safety profile of the agent that we saw in that setting?
Right. So this is a single-arm phase 2 trial of patients with relapsed or refractory diffuse large B-cell lymphoma who had failed several lines of prior therapy. Patients were administered oral selinexor twice a week at different doses, either 60 or 100 milligrams. Notable toxicities, particularly at the higher dose, were nausea, anorexia, sometimes diarrhea, and fatigue. So the go-forward dose, or the approved dose, is 60 milligrams oral twice weekly. And with adequate supportive care, antiemetics, and other considerations, patients can stay on this drug for long periods of time, but it's important to use this appropriate supportive care.
Were there any other supportive care measures besides antiemetics that you wanted to mention?
So antiemetics are a big one, but the other things that sometimes has been used are other medications that we don't typically think of as supportive care for patients undergoing, let's say, most lymphoma treatments, and those would be appetite stimulants that sometimes can help patients get over the anorexia and weight loss that's sometimes seen with this agent.
Is there any other element of the trial or the approval that I didn't ask about that you wanted to emphasize?
Well, I think the big opportunity for this agent is in its administration and potential for long-term use. So although the toxicities can sometimes be difficult to manage without adequate supportive care, on the study, there were many patients who achieved a remission and were able to be maintained in complete remission for over 2 years on continuous oral dosing. So again, with attention to the supportive care methods that we mentioned, I think this is a very good option for patients with deep relapses who have exhausted other treatment options that may be something that can lead to durable remission.
Now, of course, selinexor is an oral agent, and that could potentially be an advantage, especially during the COVID-19 era. Do you think that the supportive care measures kind of detract from that a little bit, or can they be done at home?
Yeah, so in terms of now that we're in the COVID-19 pandemic, which is not going away anytime soon, there may be interest in patients and oncologists to avoid infusions that require the patient to come in. I think it's still important with this and any other treatment that patients are monitored. There can be cytopenias with selinexor that need to be monitored, including thrombocytopenia. So the patient still needs to go to a lab at least to have laboratory tests for monitoring. But if they're going to be having virtual visits, they don't necessarily have to come into the infusion center for treatment.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science Summits and Institutional Perspectives in Cancer webinars. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.